नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 1, verse 16. Grihat pravrajito dira punya tirtha jalapluta shuchau Nivikta asino vidivat kapitasane grihat pravrajito dira punya tirtha jalap lutaha Shucha vivikta an asino vidivat kapistasane grihat pravrajito dira punya tircha valap lutaha Shucha vivikta asino vidivat kalpitasane grihat pravrachito dira punya tirtha jalap lutaha Shucha vivikta asino vidivat kapitasane. Someone could chant. Watch it, Jeeves. word for word. Grihat, from one's home. Pravachitaha, having gone out. Diraha, self-controlled. Punya, pious. Tirtha, sacred place. Jala aplataha, fully washed. Shuchau, cleansed. Vivikte, solitary. Asinaha, seated. Vidivat, according to regulations. Kalpita, having done. Asane, on a sitting place. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. Purport. To prepare oneself for the better next life, one must get out of one's so-called home. The system of Varnashram Dharma, or Sanatana Dharma, prescribes retirement from family encumbrances as early as possible after one has passed 50 years of age. Modern civilization is based on family comforts, the highest standard of amenities, and therefore, after retirement, everyone expects to live a very comfortable life in a well-furnished home decorated with fine ladies and children, without any desire to get out of such a comfortable home. High government officers and ministers stick to their prized posts until death, and they neither dream nor desire to get out of homely comforts. Bound by such hallucinations, materialistic men prepare various plans for a still more comfortable life. But suddenly, cruel death comes without mercy and takes away the great plan maker against his desire, forcing him to give up the present body for another body. Such a plan maker is thus forced to accept another body and out in one of the 8,400,000 species of life according to the fruits of the work he has performed. In the next life, persons who are too much attached to family comforts are generally awarded lower species of life on account of sinful acts performed during a long duration of sinful life, and thus all the energy of the human life is spoiled. In order to be saved from the danger of spoiling the human form of life and being attracted to unreal things, one must take warning of death at the age of 50, if not earlier. The principle is that one should take it for granted that the death warning is already there, even prior to the attainment of 50 years of age, and thus at any stage of life, one should prepare himself for a better next life. The system of the Sanatana Dharma institution is so made that the follower is trained for the better next life without any chance that the human life will be spoiled. The holy places all over the world are meant for the residential purposes of retired persons getting ready for a better next life. Intelligent persons must go there at the end of life, and for that matter, after 50 years of age, to live a life of spiritual regeneration for the sake of being freed from family attachment, which is considered to be the shackle to be the shackle of material life. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid of material attachment. And as long as one is materially attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. One should not, however, become self-complacent simply by leaving home, by creating another home at a holy place, either lawfully or unlawfully. Many persons leave home and go to such holy places, but due to bad association, again become family men by illicit connection with the opposite sex. The illusory energy of matter is so strong that one is apt to be under such illusion at every stage of life, even after quitting one's happy home. Therefore, it is essential that one practice self-control by celibacy without the least desire for sex indulgence. For a man desiring to improve the condition of his existence, sex indulgence is considered suicidal or even worse. Therefore, to live apart from family life means to become self-controlled in regard to all sense desires, especially sex desires. The method is that one should have a duly sanctified sitting place made of straw, deerskin, and carpet, and thus sitting on it, one should chant the holy name of the Lord without offense, as prescribed above. The whole process is to drag the mind from material engagements and fix it on the lotus feet of the Lord. This simple process alone will help one advance to the highest stage of spiritual success. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarani. So we have come here to this material world because we wanted to enjoy the material, or to lord over or enjoy the material energy. And therefore we are giving this material body to try to enjoy that material nature. Although this is actually against our real nature, in the beginning it stated that of this before we fell down, that Krishna tried to protect us from the trap, but because we were determined, he let us come to this material world to try to enjoy by engaging in sense gratification. So in this way, we came to this material world trying to enjoy society, friendship, and love in a perverted way, because everything in the spiritual world is here in the material world, but it's here in a perverted, as a perverted reflection. Just like it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that there is a banyan tree which has its fruits upward, branches upwards, its roots upwards and its branches downwards, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who understands his tree is the knower of the Vedas. So this banyan tree, this upside down banyan tree, is there in the reflection of a pool of water. So this is the this reflection, this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and it's pervertedly reflected in the material world as the modes of material nature. In this way, we suffer accordingly by our desires and by our activities. So this attachment, in the home, is people who are attached. If they're not attached to Krishna, we have to have some attachment. We have to have some desire. If we're not attached to Krishna, then we have to have attachment to material things. And the problem with that is that it keeps us here in this in the material world. And by engaging in material activities and by engaging in sinful activities, then we become more and more degraded. So originally we came into this material world, as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, as Lord Brahma. But then gradually we fell down and became lower and lower and to such a position as becoming into the lower species of life. So by engaging in sinful activities, one, it accepts a lower life form. Although one is attached to one's home, one could go back to one's home, but in a lower species of life. Just like probably gave an example of somebody, they're attached to their skyscraper building, but they come back as a roach in the toilet. So their son is worshiping them, is offering them respect in their picture, but they are simply a roach in the toilet. Or one is very much attached to becoming attached to one's house, and once it was one tree next to a house, and Prabhupada mentioned how that's the former owner of this house. He's attached, but now he becomes a tree. So they become trees because of their attachment, of their sinful activities. Just like Prabhupada mentioned about John Lennon, because he shows himself as naked, he had a picture of himself being naked. Therefore, Prabhupada said in his next life he'll become a tree. So this is the situation of those who engage in sinful life. And those who want to enjoy the modes of material nature, because everything in the material world is composed of the three modes of material nature, so by coming in contact with those modes, we become contaminated. So those who are, when Prabhupada was in Hawaii, he asked, what are those people, you know, on the riding the waves? And he said, oh, they're surfers. And Prabhupada says, I call them sea sufferers. They're suffering in the sea. So Prabhupada said, because they like to swim and dance in the ocean, then in their next life, they'll become fishes. And in this way, they'll miss the opportunity, the human form of life, and it will take them millions of years to come back to the human form of life. They'll be in the ocean. There's so many hundreds and thousands of species of fish. And then after they become fish, they come up into the land and become plants. And this way, there are so many species they have to go through. So Darwin also, he presented this evolution. Sometimes it's stated that he took information from the Vedas. There was some kind of water all around the world, and then there were some fishes, and then they gradually came out of the water, and they're different plants or whatever. Anyway, but this is according to this. But we understand things as the spirit soul accepts different type of bodies, not an evolution of material forms. It's an evolution of the soul from one body to another. So first he's in the species of fishes, and then he goes to the plant life, and then he gradually comes up to the human form of life. So in this way, people are attached to their house, to their home. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport about the politicians, how they don't want to give up their position. They can't even dream about giving up their position. And Srila Prabhupada himself even requested he requested Mahatma Gandhi to, he said, Mahatma Gandhi, you're very famous, you're known over the world, give up your politics and simply, help join me and preach Bhagavad Gita. But he refused to do it. He wanted to go on with his political career, and probably mentioned to him that if you don't give this up, you'll simply meet the same destination as Mussolini and Hitler. You'll just simply be killed. And actually, it came to pass that he was actually shot. And Prabhupada also mentions about Nehru, who's the first president of India, he continued to the end of his death. I think Prabhupada mentioned he had a heart attack, and he was going to some meeting and he died. So Prabhupada mentions about Nehru that he's one of two dogs, and I think either Sweden or Switzerland. So that's the position. They, because of their sinful activities, because of their attachment, they take birth in the lower species of life. So in this material world, there's danger at every step. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14. Samashrita ye pada palava plavam. Mahat padam punya yasho marari. Babam bhutir vatsa padam param padam 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 yati padam natesham. For one who's accepted the abode of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is a shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and is known as Murari, the enemy of the Muru demon, the ocean of material existence is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. His goal is param padam, Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger and fear at every step. So this material world is not meant for the devotees of the Lord. They have nothing to do with this useless place. So this material world is full of danger, full of fear, and the ultimate fear is death. This is something that no one can avoid, and everybody's fearful at every moment. But actually, if we understand things properly, there is no actual danger. It is simply a dream. Prabhupada gave the example of a man is dreaming, and he is dreaming of a tiger, and he is being eaten by the tiger, and he is crying out, "Help, help!" But actually, there is no tiger. It is simply a dream. And for the devotees of the Lord, actually, there is no danger. Sometimes the devotees appear to be in danger. Just like the Pandavas. The Pandavas, they were in a house that was set on fire. They were attacked by man-eaters. They were banished to the forest for so many years. But actually, this was just to make it so that Krishna could be famous as a speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. But actually, the devotees, they're never in any danger. They're never in any suffering because they are always remembering Krishna's lotus feet. And they understand that the nature of this world is simply temporary and is simply a dream. So, in the material world, people have so many sufferings, but the real suffering is birth, death, disease, and old age. All the other so-called sufferings are simply temporary. Secondary sufferings are simply temporary. So in this world, these temporary things are people take these very seriously. Although they neglect the real problems, they take the secondary things as very, very seriously. What are these secondary problems, or some of these secondary problems? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are their secondary problems. But these are the activities of the animals. So simply, that's their main concern. Simply the activities of the animals. So this is referred to as pravritti marg, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and nivritti marg, which is to give up these things. So those who are in spiritual life, they engage in the principle of renunciation, which this purport describes, giving up the home, renunciation, or nivritti marg, giving up eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So we see the devotees, they do that. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami. He was from a very rich family. He had a very nice wife. But he gave up everything and joined Lord Chaitanya's movement. So, and as far as eating, that was practically nil. He would just eat a little butter every 3 days. So in this way, he engaged in Krishna consciousness. And by doing this, by engaging in Krishna consciousness, we can make these things nil. But if we do it artificially, if we simply want to avoid things without engaging in activities of Krishna consciousness, then we'll be a failure. We have to have some attachment. We have to have some anchor. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, they're going to the moon, they're going to the sun, but they are simply thinking. Just like the Russians, they were up in outer space and they were thinking, where's my Moscow? Where's my Moscow? So their anchor or their attachment is in their city or their country or their family or their wife. So that attachment is there. They're going up very high in the sky, but their anchor is down on this planet. Just like the example given of the vulture, he's going very, very high, but the point of him going very, very high is he's trying to find out a dead body. So our advancement of going very high is simply to find out a dead body, simply a decoration of a dead body. Because what are these bodies? They're simply dead matter. They're simply moving because a spirit soul is in them. So we are thinking that this is a nice body, that's not a nice body, and we are attracted in so many ways. But we should understand this body is simply bile, mucus, and air, that's all. Simply material elements. There's no real happiness in these material things. It's simply a dead body. So we shouldn't be engaged in these material things. We shouldn't simply engage in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. This is not civilization. People who emphasize these things is just simply polished animal life, just like the dog. The dog is eating in the street, and we're eating on a golden plate. But the business is the same. The taste is the same. When we are sleeping on the 20th floor of a skyscraper building, and the dog is sleeping in the street, but the business is the same. And the dog is engaged in sex life in the street, and we are engaging sex life in a solitary place in a nice bedstead. But business is the same. The taste is the same. So this is not actually human life. This is simply animal life. Not that we don't do these things, but this is not our primary golden life. These are simply secondary things. We just try to minimize these things and engage our time in advancing in Krishna consciousness. So to do this, we have to get out of the material world. To get out of this material world is only possible for the devotees of the Lord. Others in this material world, they find that things are very inconvenient for them. They're always under the control of material nature. They're always under somebody's control. And they very much dislike this. Just like the story is given of the ass. The ass was very sad that he was always working hard for his master. So he called a conference together of all the animals. So all the animals came. And then the elephant spoke up and said, even though I'm very strong, even I am controlled by my master. So the ass could understand that it is simply useless. We cannot get out of the control of our masters. So it's not possible to get out of the control of material nature. Only by surrendering unto Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya darat yaya mameva ye prabhatyante mayame tantarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So by surrendering unto Krishna, one could conquer over material nature. One could conquer over death. So one could conquer over death by engaging in the different processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padma Sevanam. One can conquer over death by Shruti Parayana, by hearing the Vedas from a self-realized soul. In this way, one can conquer over death. So, by hearing from the spiritual master, by engaging in devotional service, one could cross over the modes of material nature. So one of these processes is to chant the holy name of the Lord. As mentioned in the purport here again, about one should sit down in a secluded place and chant the holy name of the Lord without offense. So there are various offenses that one should avoid. One should avoid blaspheming the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Because if one blasphemes the devotee, if one offends the devotee, then Krishna will not forgive him. One may blaspheme the Lord, he can forgive one. But if one blasphemes the devotee, then he cannot be forgiven. Just like the example is given of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj, and he was chastised by Krishna's Sudarshana Chakra. In this way, he had to flee from the chakra throughout the whole universe until he went to Vaikuntha. And he tried to get pardon from Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu said, I can't help you. The only way you could be relieved is by surrendering to Ambarish Maharaj to ask forgiveness from him. So in this way, when we have to be very careful to not to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord. And another offense is to consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. So they say that the Hindus have many gods, but we're not into this Hindu or Muslim. We say we have to worship Krishna. And you can't be, God is one. If there's two gods, it's not God. God is one. But the Mayavadis, sometimes they misinterpret the Bhagavad Gita, as in the 4th chapter, 11th verse, it says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So they take this to mean many gods. And even in America, they have a branch of this Mayavadi philosophy. They say you could worship anyone, you could worship Kali, and the result is the same. No, the result is not the same. Krishna says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda, or Lord Brahma says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govindam, Sarvakarna Karnam. Krishna, who is known as the Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he's a prime cause of all causes. So there's only one God, and that God is Krishna, and we simply have to worship him. Another offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So one has to follow the instruction of the spiritual master verbatim. Otherwise, if one doesn't, then such acceptance of a spiritual master is the practice of hypocrisy. So one has to accept someone who one could have faith in, that he knows the absolute truth. Therefore, sometimes it's stated that one should, for a while, the spiritual master should test the disciple, and the disciple should see if the spiritual master is qualified to be accepted as a spiritual master. And we also, one of the offenses is to not to accept the Vedic literature. So we have to accept the Vedic literature, even though sometimes same things may seem to be contradictory. Like it's mentioned in the Vedas that the animal, the bone of an animal is impure. If you touch a bone of an animal, you have to take a bath. But then it's stated that the conch shell is pure. So in this way, things may seem contradictory, but we have to accept them with faith. Otherwise, we're committing offenses. Another offense is to chant the holy name of the Lord for material gain. And she'll probably give the example of, just like I may be making $1,000. And so I'm thinking that if I chant Hare Krishna, I can make $3,000. So this is actually an offense. And he gave the example of Dayananda. He said, even though Dayananda is chanting Hare Krishna, it is seen that he is making less money. But even though one is making less money, one should simply go on chanting Hare Krishna. So that's not the goal of chanting Hare Krishna, to make money. It doesn't matter if one makes millions of dollars or becomes poverty-stricken. One should simply chant Hare Krishna, because that's the real benefit in this human form of life. So we have to chant Hare Krishna. We have to chant regularly 16 rounds a day without fail. One morning walk, Srila Prabhupada mentions, if one can't finish one's rounds and the next day, one must make them up. Without eating, sleeping, one must finish one's rounds. And then he also mentioned in Hawaii in a conversation, it was in 19... It says undated or unknown date, but then it mentions 1970, February. And Prabhupada was talking about some devotees. They were into teaching how to play tennis, and they had some kind of professional thing going on. And they were talking about chanting and chanting rounds and things. And Prabhupada mentioned there that if you're busy and you can't chant all your rounds, he gave an example. Like, say, one day you can't chant, you only chant 12 rounds that day. So the next day, he said, you must chant 20 rounds. That is the rule. So in this way, we have to chant. Sometimes we may be very busy. We may be have a festival. Something's going on. It becomes very difficult to chant all rounds. But if we don't chant all rounds, if we just can't chant, we only chant 12, the next day we have to chant 20, or you say, well, I can chant any rounds. Well, next day you have to chant 32 rounds. So we have to chant. We have to continue our promises to our spiritual master. And also, it's very important to chant in the temple. This was brought up the other day. This was mentioned by Prabhupada. It was on a morning walk on the 15th of April in 1976, that by chanting in the temple, it's 1,000 times greater to chant in the temple than outside. Prabhupada gave the example, just like in Vrindavan, they go to Vrindavan because things are increased. So in this way, just by chanting in the temple, when the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra is actually increased. But, and also, another Prabhupada mentions about inattentive chanting. I want to bring that up too. Inattentive chanting, Prabhupada says, if one is inattentive in chanting the holy name of the Lord, then one should chant louder so one could hear. But one should be also take the instruction that a japa is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, that japa is chanted softly. So one shouldn't chant very loudly, so loud that it's difficult for other devotees to hear their rounds. Just like sometimes I'm back in the bajari rooms and I could hear some devotees chanting their japa all the way to the bajari room. So one has to chant softly so everybody could hear their rounds, especially if there's a lot of devotees chanting in the temple. So we have to spread Krishna consciousness by engaging in these activities. We have to defeat the demons, because the demons and the demigods, they've been fighting since time immemorial. This has been going on for a very, very long time. But now there's different names. They have different names. Srila Prabhupada gave them different names. He said there, it's the capitalists and the communists, the demons and the demigods. But of course, in the West now, the capitalists, they're 80%, 90% demons. So because they don't know about the Vedic scriptures. They don't know about the orders of God. But we have a very good chance, Prabhupada, we have a very good chance of changing things in America by making them Krishna conscious. In this way, we could very easily change the whole world and wage the war against the real demons like that. So by the Sankirtan movement, by distributing Krishna consciousness in the form of the Vedic literatures, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, and by introducing this Varnashrama system, as mentioned here in the purport, one could change the course of the world, and then the whole world will become Krishna consciousness. And there will be no shortage. The only reason why there is shortage in the world because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Just like the people say, oh, there's overpopulation. Because of overpopulation, there will be a lack of food. No, there's not lack of food because of overpopulation. The reason why, if there's a lack of food, the reason is because it's a godless society. Krishna, material nature, will withhold food if there are demons on the planet. Just like when Maharaj Prithu was on the planet, Mother Earth was keeping things within her because so many people were engaging against the principles of God like that. So we could stop there. Are there any questions on these points? Yes, Charan Rotam.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much. That was a very wonderful presentation. Very clear. You were mentioning how the politicians they are godless, so they are no Krishna consciousness. And you were mentioning the example of Mahatma Gandhi. How Mahatma Gandhi, outside in the material world, they praise him as to be a saintly person, but actually we know he's not a saintly person. He is just a politician. So my question comes now. So we have this Tulsi Gabbard, which is a candidate for the United States to be a president. But we know that to deal with the material world, with the material nature, is very tough. The three modes of material nature. So unless someone is very strong, like Prabhupada, like a very strong acharya, that to be in that position, for sure, it won't be contaminated but this person that everybody, the devotees are praising her, so she got to make negotiations, she got to deal with demons, no demons, communists, wars, this and that. How strong she will be in her Krishna consciousness and to give the message of Krishna if she takes that position. Considering that it's very strong, the material nature, and to be in that politician realm is very heavy. How she can be fully surrendered or fully loyal to Prabhupada or to the teachings of the Vedas?
Well, the thing is with becoming like a president, for example, Prabhupada mentions that even if you become a president yourself, what could you do? Because the Congress is against you. So the president may say so many things. He may say, close the slaughterhouses, and they'll simply laugh at you. So the Congress, they're in charge. They write all the rules. So there's nothing you can really do. So it has to be more than just a president. It has to be the whole country. And this is done by making the people Krishna conscious. So not only do they have to elect a president who's Krishna conscious, but they have to elect a Congress as Krishna conscious. And then things could actually go on nicely. But simply doing one little thing here or one little thing there will make some effect. But if we actually want to make the real effect, we have to make the people and the whole world Krishna, or let's say in America, if you do something great in America, the whole world will follow. So we have to preach Krishna consciousness among the mass of people, and then they'll be able to elect the proper people to guide them. Otherwise, if they're simply hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they'll simply elect another big hog, dog, camel, or ass. Okay, so it's getting a little late now, so we can stop there. Thank you very much. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
I guess that means you're not voting, right?